This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Steve Kerr, sounds like he's probably going to call in about 10 or 15 minutes. So that'll be fun.
He'd better be in a good mood.
It's hard not to be in Hawaii. Yeah.
And the workday is done. And
it's only 12:48.
Exactly. Steve, do we lose you? Yeah, I'm at
probably.
The beach. Totally. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. When do you not look forward to talking to Steve? So.
Well, there's been a couple times, but usually.
No, he doesn't look forward to talking to you.
Well,
but you look forward to talking to him.
He thinks I'm funny.
And sometimes.
I'm going to get him to laugh today. I usually try to get him to laugh at least once.
He thinks you're funny, but he does not think you have his back.
Well, that's for sure.
That's what he thinks.
Steve, I got your back. No, you don't. No, you
no,
don't.
You don't. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah.
And you don't.
I don't.
Oh, no.
And I won't ask him where he keeps his gold medal, because he doesn't have one. So that would be awkward.
What do you mean he doesn't have one?
You don't. We've been over this. You don't get one as a coach.
Oh, that's stupid.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the question. Hey, Steve, thanks for joining us. How stupid is it that you don't have a gold medal?
I'm sure they made a replica or something. I mean, it's stupid. Anyway.
But yeah. Like the diving coach of the diver who wins gold, they don't get a medal. And
yeah,
the gymnast who wins gold, the coach who taught her or he how to do that double flip in pike position, they don't get a gold.
Yeah. I get it.
I get it.
I get it.
That you get it.
But they should get it. Anyway,
agreed.
One of our favorites. Speaking of people we like to talk to, how about Film on Mike? You ready?
I'm actually not ready.
Why not?
I have a feeling it's going to be one of those dibs. I hate to side with Willard, but you're so wrong.
You might be surprised.
All right, Filmo.
Filmo, go. Go, go, go.
Go, go, go. I actually do not believe... I do not agree with Willard at all. Willard is crazy trying to. I would never trade the. You know what? Shout out to Priest. He's too old.
That was funny on two levels. That was really good. Go ahead, Filmo.
And then not only that, we got to remember he's not a yak bro like that. He averaged what 11 yards a catch last year. And then the true sense of a diva, of a wide receiver diva, Brandon Ayuk is not a diva. He's just not.
I didn't call him
He's
that.
Not.
Hold on. I didn't call him that.
Okay.
I never use that word.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, go ahead.
But now, I'm in total agreement with Dibs.
Mm.
I would not trade for Devontae Adams. Yes, he's a great player. Yes. And then I loved how, I like people like Ray Ratto and the dude they all just had on, Lombardi, or not Lombardi.
Greg Cosell.
Greg Cosell, yeah.
Greg Cosell, Howard Cosell nephew. Yeah. He kind of checked y'all. They have 445 yards of offense. So what are we talking about? What are we doing?
At what point?
We're talking about trading somebody.
Filmo.
Yes, sir. We had a great game. Yes, sir.
At what point do you not want to get better? When in life, no matter how good it's going, like don't talk to me about Devontae Adams. Call Bill Gates and tell him to stop making money. He doesn't.
Oh, you know.
Why are you?
You know, I'm in sales. So every year they want you to do better.
Exactly.
You did this much. I'm like, man, I did a good job. Oh, we want you to sell 125 more units. What? I barely did 100 units. But my point is this. We're going to get better because Brandon Ayuk is ramping up. We're going to get players back in transition. Ask Steve Curtis. Funny man, ask him this: If I would have played Moses Moody maybe a little bit more back in the day, would he be more developed now? Ask him that, and I bet you he'd say yes. So we getting our younger players more developed so that they'll be ready to put on in the future, unlike with what the Warriors did. And then Brandon Ayuk is going to ramp up.
Wow.
A la when we got Klay Thompson the championship year.
Yeah.
Let's go, Willard.
Okay, Filmo, I can answer that right now. And you know this. And thank you, Filmo. We'd love hearing from you. The bottom line is when you're in the middle of a championship window, or however you want to phrase it, when you feel you're a contender that year, then there are moments where you have to put development to the side a little bit. And the 49ers are absolutely in an all-in Super Bowl contender type of a year. Now, Brandon Ayuk, I don't even consider that a developmental player anymore. He's young, but he's not developing. He went for over 1,300 yards last year. Brandon's a great player. You'll never hear me say different. I think he was a pain in the rear this year. And I'm not looking to just trade him to trade him. I didn't bring this up until today because Devontae Adams is available. And I think it gives you more optionality going forward from a financial standpoint when you used a first-round draft pick on a receiver. And in theory, the way it looks right now, I don't know when the hell this guy's ever going to significantly hit the field. You've signed Brandon long-term. You've re-signed Juwan Jennings. You've restructured Deebo Samuel. And you drafted Ricky Pearsall in the first round. Make it make sense.
Well, it makes sense for now. And
for
you can
today.
Make it make sense in the offseason. And you don't have to trade Brandon Ayuk on October 2nd to make it make sense. Mm. Because Brandon Ayuk's number this year has gone way down. And your cap room is number one in football. And it's gone way up. And you mentioned Pearsall. And they're not opening his practice window. Jacob Cowing did not practice today with a shoulder. So your receiver room is feeling thinner than ever. You've got Conley and Bell and Ayuk and Deebo. End of list. And you don't want to play Ronnie Bell. So, and Juwan Jennings. I failed to mention him
Juwan,
as well.
You got five guys. You're only going to play five guys.
Right. And last week, Ronnie Bell was a healthy scratch. So.
Right, because Deebo became healthy and Cowing was ready to go.
Right. So the point is the guys that you have, you don't necessarily love them all, nor do you want to play them all. So for now, the optionality is not as important as it will be at the end of the year.
Correct. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. And, Brandon Ayuk, four games in, I don't think has played to the point where he's playing his way out of the future of the 49ers.
Again, I don't look at it that way. This is opportunistic. This is Devontae Adams that we're talking about. I don't want to trade Brandon Ayuk for, I don't know, just any old receiver. To me, this is something that I would look at based on a number of factors. Okay, Brandon Ayuk was a pain in the rear all offseason. Brandon Ayuk, on some level, was a little bit of a pain last Friday also. And add in, he is not performing up to his capabilities. And you have put all of these resources into the receiver room when, in theory, I'm still not sure that it was perfect for them to do so. Never forget, if you believe the story that was told, the 49ers were hours away from trading Brandon.
Or minutes away, depending on, you know.
So this whole, like, oh my God, they can't live without him. They had to do this, that, or the... Well, they were potentially minutes away from sending him to Pittsburgh. And then since then, what new information do we have? We have Brandon in front of a microphone saying that he was a pain in the rear when he didn't need to be. You've got four games of data where... What do we got so far this year? What's the tail of the tape? Has he even gotten to 200 yards yet in his four games?
I don't think so.
What are we at?
He's got 13 catches.
Okay.
And he's got 167 yards,
awesome.
No touchdowns.
Awesome. And 2 to 5 drops, depending on what color glasses you wear.
Well, depends on how you define a drop.
Absolutely.
Drops are not like errors in baseball, where an error is given based on one person's judgment, and you get an error, even though it may not be an error.
And I know
it goes down as an error.
I get it. And I also know that he's a receiver, and therefore he is not solely responsible for his stats. I understand that. I know Brock didn't see him one time. I also know he dropped a touchdown pass. My opinion, a drop. But anyway, now you get to this point where the Davante Adams deal, and reportedly there was, hey, Brandon to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh send a 2 to Davante. Davante to the Niners. If that was a conversation you had before, and the Raiders weren't interested then, but they are now, are you still interested? I don't think this is... Look, I get that it's unlikely. I don't think this is as crazy as it might sound.
I do think it's crazy.
If the Niners were interested in it 6 weeks ago, why would they not be now?
Why would they not be now? Because they've signed Brandon Ayuk, and you know, you've got your team, and your team is a team that you believe in, and you believed in Brandon 4 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago when you signed him. So now you don't believe in him?
I don't know.
Now you're ready to give up on Brandon Ayuk?
You signed him 24 hours after you were minutes away from trading him.
Right, and so you were minutes away from trading him 4 months earlier draft.
Do you, quote, believe in him? Or are you just like, well, this is the best scenario for the moment?
I don't know. Their actions will determine it. And I disagree with Steiny, who said that this is a lot like Jordan Poole, because in the NBA, when you sign a guy, that number that you are going to pay him is a value in a trade. Money for money has to happen in the NBA. In the NFL, it doesn't work that way.
I agree with you on that.
When you sign Brandon Ayuk to $30 million average annual, you're not doing that thinking, okay, we're going to trade the 30 because we need to get a $30 million player back. That's not the way that works.
I'm with you, and I actually do believe that he will not be traded. That is, if I was a betting person, I'm just suggesting that this is something I'd get involved in now. I'd make this phone call.
Well, it's interesting because if the Raiders are really interested in trading him, and I think that they are, and if Davante Adams is not interested in playing unless he's on a new team, and I do think that is where he is. I don't know how bad the hammy is. I do know that the hammy seemed to flare up about the same time as his trade request, and now he's not playing week 5, so that'll be 2 straight weeks that he won't play for a team that he doesn't want to play for anymore. So if you're the Raiders, your motivation would be pretty high to trade him. So if you're one of the other 31 teams, and let me back that off, if you're one of the other 28 teams, because I don't think the Raiders will trade him to the Chargers,
the Chiefs, or the Broncos. I'm sure the Chiefs would love it, but it's not happening.
And actually, that is kind of a good fit with Rashee Rice in the situation that he's in.
But it's an ideal fit.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if you wanted to be a competitive organization, you probably wouldn't trade him to anyone in the AFC. But the Raiders, I don't think, are in that mode. And because Buffalo's a team that would love to have him.
Yeah,
and the Jets are a team that would love to have him.
I think the Jets are probably the favorite, but the Saints are next. And if I am the Raiders, again, I'm not under the impression I'm winning the Super Bowl this year if I'm the Raiders. So it's not a huge deal, but I would prefer to send him to the NFC, all things being equal.
I do think that you are looking to get your best possible offer.
Yes, 100%.
Like, top line would be no Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers.
The division is out.
Next line would be best offer. And then the third line would be, it'd be great if we could send him to the NFC. But beggars can't be choosers when you're in a spot like this.
All right, let's pause this conversation. Those of you on hold, we will get right back to you. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Let's go out to the River Islands guest line. We would not pause this conversation for just anyone, but this ain't just anyone. This is the coach. This is Steve Kerr joining us here on Willard and Dibbs, and he's presented by Great Clips, proud sponsor of the Steve Kerr Show on 95.7 The Game. It's going to be great. Hey, coach, it's been a minute. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Aloha.
Yeah.
We're doing great.
Aloha.
Yeah, come on. How's the suntan look?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, look at me. I mean, I don't really get tan. I might get burned, but I don't get tan.
Yeah.
But I love Hawaii. It's such a great place. And it's been fun. You know, we've only been here less than 48 hours. So we're just getting settled, but we've had 2 days of practice, and it's a fun change of pace. I think we've had camp in the Bay every year since I've been here, so this is the first time we've done it away from home, and I like it. Nice change of pace.
We loved the breaking news that Steph Curry is going to be in the starting lineup. wonder if over the last 48 hours anybody else has caught your eye.
Well, I think that was misinterpreted. You know, Draymond's going to be in the starting lineup, and I think I was asked yesterday, you know, who starts at two, and I said, well, who starts at two may depend on who starts at all the other positions, because I don't know that yet. And what I meant was, I don't know if Draymond's going to be the four or the five, but somebody took that and ran with it and said Draymond's not guaranteed a starting spot. But that was sort of misleading. So extremely misleading. Draymond will start. I just don't know if he'll be our four or five.
And we know that Klay Thompson won't start, at least for you. Has that been weird to have a camp without Klay, or have you already gotten to the point where you miss Klay, you love Klay, he's a forever warrior, but you've moved on from it?
No, you don't move on from something like that in 2 days, that's for sure. So the answer is, you know, somewhere in between. Like, well, you know, we have to move on because we have no choice. I'm looking at this as a chance for a lot of guys to take on responsibility, but also a chance for our team to establish its own identity, you know, because Klay has been such a huge part of that, obviously, for 12 years. So this team has to take on a little different identity, and Klay's departure, as difficult as it was and as much as we'll miss him, we got to move on, and we've got to do that quickly in order to become a good team.
Coach, I understand maybe he's a little under the weather today, but I want to ask you about Andrew Wiggins, because it certainly felt from what everyone said in your arrival that there is just an entirely renewed feeling about who he is, the state of mind that he's in, and maybe what you're expecting from him this year. So is that accurate, and how are you feeling about him?
Yeah, he's missed the first 2 days, unfortunately. He's under the weather, and so he's been here at practice getting shots up, wearing a mask so he doesn't get anybody else sick. But he has not participated in practice yet. But, yeah, what you said is accurate. He showed up to camp in great shape. I've watched him play pickup ball the last couple of weeks, and he's looked fantastic. You know, I think there's some peace of mind for him now. You know, at this point, you guys are all aware that his father passed away last month. And these last couple of years have been really, really tough on Wiggs and his whole family. And, you know, I guess maybe some closure in that regard. And I think that allows him to, you know, as he's grieving, to also move forward. That's, you know, from my own experience, that's how this works. Wiggs is, everyone loves Wiggs. He's so beloved in our organization. We all want him to get back to who he was 2 years ago, and he showed up, you know, ready to do that for camp. And it's just a minor setback, the sickness. So he should be good to go in the next day or two, and I'm expecting a big year from him.
Yeah, it's going to be great. When he plays really, really well, your team tends to win more often than not. And I know, Steve, every year, every season's different, every roster's different, but what have your impressions been of the new guys so far this year, Melton and Slo-Mo and Buddy Hield? How are they fitting in with the fellas?
Man, these guys are good players, and they're right in their primes, you know, and that's what's exciting is all three have been starters, you know, major rotation players on their respective teams. And they're all guys who really fit multiple lineups. You know, Kyle plays the game a little bit like Draymond, you know, with his brain and kind of outmaneuvering, outthinking people, and then playing that point forward role. And he can play with a lot of different guys. Buddy, obviously, his three-point shooting is going to be massive for us. And then Melton's an excellent two-way player. You know, he can play either guard spot, and he can guard either guard spot. And he just all three guys have good feel, and I'm excited about all of them.
Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game, live from Hawaii, where it's only just a little bit after 1 o'clock. Day two of their camp out there is now complete. Steve, I wonder just kind of how the offseason without the playoffs might have felt different and sort of like how that might shape the way you guys are viewing and feeling about this year.
Well, I think most people are writing us off, which, you know, that's a good place to be, really. There's no expectations from others. And in a little bit of a way, you know, that feels like a challenge to us. Like, hey, let's see what we've got. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we need to take on an identity. And what I'm looking for is a hell of a defensive group. You know, I want us to be scrappy. I want us to be difficult to play against night in and night out. And I want us to be able to play off of our defense. And that wasn't the case last year. You know, that was probably the first year in a long time that we have not been good defensively. So I want to get back to being an excellent defensive team. And then, you know, develop that identity and find our way from there.
Yeah, 18th last year, Steve, in points allowed per game, which is certainly not what we're all used to. I also saw a quote where you mentioned something to the effect that you wanted to see the team shoot more threes, and I saw you shot 39 a game last year, so that already seems like an extraordinarily high number. But where do you want these threes to come from? Could it be Kevon's time to shoot the three ball?
Well, I mean, Loon will take one once in a while, and that's great. But, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, we were fourth in the league in threes last year. But we lost Klay Thompson, right? So what I'm saying is I don't want to drop from that top five. I think this team, in order for this team to win, you know, we need to shoot three. We don't get to the foul line a whole lot, you know. We don't have the, you know, the personnel to just generate points in the half court really easily. We've got to execute to do that. So for us to be successful, we want to shoot a lot of threes. And I think we have more depth to our three-point shooting this year than we did a year ago. So we want to fill that void that with Clay's departure brings, but we want to fill it with a lot of different people. And, you know, getting threes or dunks in transition, that's kind of the idea. And then in the half court, if you've got good spacing, you get more threes there.
Steve Kerr with us. Steve, this is a little bit interesting because it sounds, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you've spent the offseason thinking about some at least minor philosophical changes. What are the challenges with those kind of changes when your two leaders are the same guys they've been for a decade?
Well, we're not changing who we are, so the challenge isn't as great as it might seem. But what we're changing is just some details. We're trying to be more efficient. We're trying to be more structured, but maintain the movement and the flow that we've always played with. So, you know, as long as we have Steph and Draymond, we aren't changing that part of it. What we're trying to do better is to execute better in the half court, to be more particular, you know, with our actions, with our calls, with our terminology, and just sharpen up execution mainly.
Everybody's always wondering about Jonathan Kuminga and his improvement, and it's been steady and it's been meteoric. What are you seeing from JK early in camp that would get fans excited for his season coming up?
A really good day of practice today. He made some good plays in transition, you know, attacking the rim, but also making good passes in transition, running ahead of the play to pull the defense in where somebody makes a three behind him. Plays like that that are crucial to winning. That's what we're looking for. And, you know, he's in his fourth year now, so, you know, he's got so much more experience understanding the NBA game and our team in particular, and it's showing. So good day for him. Moses Moody also had a really good day. I love what he's doing, just catch and shooting, you know, no hesitation because he's an excellent shooter. And both guys are showing a lot of growth, and that's exciting.
Coach, maybe it's too early for this, but like, what would you say to a Warrior fan right now about this group that they don't know? You know what I mean? Is there a player who might have a role that they're not aware of, or even a player that might be able to do some things and add to this team that they haven't in the past? What kind of surprises are you expecting, if you will?
I don't know if there are going to be surprises, but I would tell our fans that I think you're going to enjoy watching this team. Again, you know, we were not great defensively last year, middle of the pack in terms of efficiency. I think we're 15th in the league in points per possession allowed. We've always been, you know, top 10. The year we won it in 22, we were the second-ranked defensive team in efficiency. And, you know, I can't predict the ranking, but I can tell you we're going to be scrappy. We're going to fight. And I know fans love watching that. And if our guys do that and we improve defensively, then we're always going to have a chance because, you know, the skill of Steph, the continuity of Draymond and Steph and Loon, the guys we've had, you know, that's valuable stuff, and it turns into two-way basketball, and that's ultimately what it takes to win at a high level.
Last year, you would tell us that it was tough to whittle down your team to just a 10-man rotation, and I look at the roster now, and it looks like it's even deeper than last year. Are you foreshadowing that you're going to have a tough time this year allocating minutes again with all the talent you guys have?
Well, you know, you want that stuff to shake out on its own. And last year it didn't, but part of the reason it didn't was we had a tough time finding combinations that clicked. So we were, you know, maybe overloaded with guys who, you know, did the same things but didn't complement one another very well. And that's what I like about the three new guys As I mentioned, Melton and Kyle Anderson, Buddy, they fit almost any lineup. So I think while there's just as much depth with this lineup, I think there's more flexibility, which allows us to find combinations. There's no question where there's going to be a couple guys, if everyone's healthy, there's going to be a couple guys, you know, left out of the rotation, and you can't get around that. But if we have more flexibility, then, you know, we should be a better team. We should win more, and everybody loves to win.
Okay, Coach. Luau, helicopter ride, little golf. What happens now?
Great question. I would love to get in the ocean this afternoon. That's going to happen one way or the other. The question is whether it'll be on a surfboard or not. So I'd like to get out there, but I'm not going to lie. If it's too big, I'm not going out. I'm not that kind of surfer.
Yeah, just go flop around out there like a turtle.
Exactly.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. All
exactly.
All right, Coach. We look forward to talking to you all year.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thanks, Steve.
All right. There he is. Coach Kerr.
Yeah.
Going to go flop around in the water in Hawaii.
How does it not get you excited when you hear Steve Kerr talking about the fellas? And I do think when you look at the roster now with the veterans and the flexibility and, you know, guys who can play a number of different roles in different spots, it's going to be interesting to see how he doles out the minutes, because as I was looking at it, you look at about 10 to 12 names and players who all could get 12 to 15, or yep. You know, some guys are obviously going to get 30-plus minutes. Wiggins, Draymond, and Steph, you hope, if healthy. But from players 4 through 12, he's going to have his work cut out for him again.
Well, I'm starting to hear kind of words that I think fans will like, playing with more speed. I love hearing what he said about defense. It's kind of like, guys, like, stop messing around. You got to play harder. You got to be scrappy. Jonathan Kuminga has talked about how fast they want to play, and there are going to be more guys doing catch and shoot and pull up threes, and you need to replace all of Klay Thompson's threes. And it just feels to me like what they're trying to do is kind of rebirth their brand of basketball, and it could use a little bit of new life. You know what I mean? It's been a certain way for a long time, and so if some new faces and a little bit of tightening of the screws brings in a little bit of new energy, that is a good thing for Chase Center.
Especially when it portends into victories. And what he was saying about defense, I think, is the big takeaway for me, because they were 18th in points allowed last year, and that's unacceptable. And he mentioned it when they won the title a few years back, they were number 2 in defense. So that has to be the calling card, the hallmark of this team. And you mentioned speed. Last year, pace-wise, they were 12th. So play faster, shoot more threes, play defense. That's always been the way the Warriors have won.
No doubt. And I think to your question, with the players he has, I don't know, are they a deeper team? Probably, than they were last year. A little bit less top-heavy with a big name like Klay Thompson no longer on the team. But also positional flexibility. It's like, if you don't want to do this, you don't want to be scrappy on defense, well, then that guy right over there will.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, the cream rises when you have that competition, even within the team. It helps.
Yeah.
It just helps. It helps create better play.
And you've got veterans now as the new guys. Kyle Anderson's 31. Buddy Hield is 31. De'Anthony Melton's 26. So you do have still that cadre of younger players, Pods and Moody and Kuminga and the rest, but you add in some real experienced vets who, they won't all play 82 games, we know that, but you've got a lot more roster flexibility than you did last year.
We used to say, back to Wiggins, but now we'll leave Wiggins and go back to Brandon
okay. And
Devontae. So a lot of you want to weigh in on the conversation that we've been having. Would you be in or out on the idea of the Niners getting in on the Devontae Adams sweepstakes? They are definitely not the favorite. I am fully willing to admit that and understand that. I do not think that this is going to happen. However, these things can surprise you. I didn't think they were going to trade for Christian McCaffrey. They were already a, quote, loaded roster, and they did it. So I'm in favor of the Niners trying to get better. I think that Devontae Adams is better than Brandon Ayuk. I think it removes a little bit of the headache that has been created this offseason, that maybe seems like it's bleeding into the season a little bit. Red shorts and lack of production doesn't mean that Brandon Ayuk's career is over or any of those things, but I do think that it's a better player with a shorter contract, therefore more optionality, And it just, it makes sense. It makes sense to me. And so, you know, we wonder where you sit on that one and how the trade would probably look, because the reports are that the Raiders want a two. That's also reportedly what the Steelers were offering the Niners for Brandon Ayuk. Now, the Steelers may not like the contract that the Niners signed. Maybe that's more than they were willing to spend.
Right.
So there's a thousand things that could kill this thing. But the idea would be Ayuk to the Steelers. The Steelers send a two to the Raiders, and the Raiders send Devontae to the San Francisco 49ers.
And for me, this conversation's less about the how and more about the if, and you know, if you would want the deal. And I personally don't want the deal. I don't want to trade a young player that I just paid, a guy who I know can thrive in the system, whether or not he's been petulant or immature, and I think he's been both, and I don't like the way he handled the offseason, and I don't love the way his season has started from a number standpoint, but I would rather have a guy who I know can thrive in the system at, what, 26 years of age, as opposed to a guy who's going to turn 32, who is injured right now as well. We got to add that into the conversation.
Maybe.
He's got a hamstring.
Maybe.
Got a hammy.
You have two hamstrings.
Yeah, and they're both, you know, not strong enough for me to go out and play on Sunday. But if I was getting paid to play, I'd probably go out there.
I'll predict Saints. I would love Niners.
You'd predict Saints.
I would predict Saints.
Oh, I'll predict the Jets.
Okay. Yeah, I think those are the two favorites. Those are his two ex-quarterbacks.
Right. And I mean, the Saints are interesting because they've got Olave, they got Rashid Shaheed, and they've got a great running back who's having an amazing start to his season.
Jets have Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams and Alan Lazard.
Yes, but Garrett Wilson reportedly thinks that the route tree has changed. I'm pretty close to the Garrett Wilson situation. I have he and Alan Lazard both on my team, but I'm getting reports out of New York that Garrett Wilson is, while not as disgruntled as Devontae Adams, he's not happy.
Oh, there's no chance
and
he's
Aaron
happy.
And Aaron Rodgers is not happy with the head coach. Yeah, thing is broken.
No doubt. No doubt. Which is why I think there are some challenges with the idea of acquiring a player like Devontae Adams in the middle of all of that chaos. Like, Right now, I don't love Robert Saleh's chances of getting through the year. I really don't.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
And their offense doesn't look appreciably different than it did last year with Zach Wilson.
It looks less funny, but it's not that much more effective.
Seriously.
You know what I mean? Zach Wilson was funny. It'd be like, literally, Zach, you didn't see that defensive lineman coming? That's not your blind side. That's your eyes. You couldn't see him coming. So Aaron's a much more aware quarterback. I don't know if they're going to score any more points, though.
Yeah.
They're still, you know, this loss last week, 10-9 to the Broncos.
And I'm hearing that Nathaniel Hackett is more likely in trouble than Robert Saleh first. I think Hackett might be a week-to-week proposition right now.
I agree with you completely. Tyler in Walnut Creek here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Tyler. Thank you for calling.
Of course. Happy to jump on with you fellas.
Yeah, happy to have you.
Yeah, well, I was just listening in on that Devontae Adams Ayuk debate, and I'm battling it within myself as well, but I feel like there's a little bit too much focus on some early struggles for a guy who missed all of training camp. And I think this past week against the Patriots, you saw a couple of flashes there. He made one tremendous catch on a route that crossed the field, and he made a diving catch laid out for it.
Yep.
And with what we've seen from Ayuk, I think that the known quantity of his ability to have a good working relationship with Brock and his willingness to be just a complete beast in his run blocking, I think that giving up on him so early in the year is just a mistake. And this is coming from a guy who's been as frustrated with his offseason as anybody.
I hear you, Tyler, but here's what I'm done with. And this is just me. Thank you, Tyler, very much. But if we're going to do the here's a sentence and then follow it with for a guy who missed all of camp, I got two problems with that. Number one, whose fault is that?
But it's Parag Marate's fault.
Now, Brandon has admitted it was his. Now, the whole situation as a whole, I'm not going to put all on Brandon's shoulders. But if you signed a contract in late August that you were offered in early August, and then you have a press conference and go, I was kind of a pain in the rear toward the end, I probably shouldn't have been, well, then that's on you. Secondarily, if you missed camp, you don't get to use that as an excuse in August. You can use it in September, week two, week
three.
You
mean October.
October.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about here? It's week five.
I'm totally with you on that front.
There's already been more regular.
What's going on here?
There's been more regular season than there was camp.
Right.
But, like, he's now had camp. You got to go look like you.
And I use the same argument when it came to Blake Snell. You can't come out and stink in June because you didn't have camp and then you got hurt and you were awful until the All-Star break. That was on you. You could have signed earlier. You could have had your agent get the deal done, and you didn't. So I'm with you. When it comes to Brandon Ayuk and four games into the year, yes, he hasn't done as well statistically as you would like. His catch percentage is barely over 50%, where for his career, it's been closer to 75. He's not had a great start to the season, and it is probably in part because he skipped camp, but that you don't get to use that as an excuse. You are what your stats and what your record says you are. Your team is 2-2. I don't think that they're 2-2 because of Brandon Ayuk. And if Brandon Ayuk was balling out, they'd probably still be 2-2.
Probably. Yeah, like I don't attach the record to Brandon. I don't even attach all of Brandon's lack of stats to Brandon. But some of it, to me, it's more about the opportunities that he has had as opposed to the opportunities he hasn't had. And the opportunities he has had have not been great. You know, like Tyler calls in and goes, oh, he had that catch, and then he had that other catch. I'm like, right, and seen. Those were his two catches. And one of them, any receiver in the NFL could have made. The Patriots left him wide open alone. Brock Purdy threw him the ball, and he caught it.
Yeah, it was a great route, as Greg Cosell explained earlier.
He also said the Patriots completely fumbled in defending it. The diving catch, pulling the ball off the ground, great. No one's ever argued whether or not Brandon's good. Brandon's very good, but he's not playing up to snuff. And this one just makes sense to me. Chris in Modesto is next. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem. Love your guys' show. Dibs, been a fan of yours since Joe Lowe and Dibs. I want to tell you that I appreciate you doing a lot better at the Fade to Dibs. Sent you a little tweet a while ago trying to give you motivation.
Thank you.
I take personal credit for your turnaround, even though you ghost to me on the Twitter, but that's, you know, I digest. Anyway, I want to tell you that I of course, everybody likes Davante Adams. Who wouldn't? But I compare this to a situation where you have a good friend who's confiding in you about a partner that they're on the fence about, and they don't know exactly which direction to go, and they even sell you on the pros and the cons. But when they finally decide to go with the partner, a few months later they say, you know what, I think I like this other person better. To me, it's like, come on, man. You know, let's stick with who we got. We got Ayuk. He fits the system. He's not a has-been. He's not 31. I'm all in on Ayuk. Doesn't mean I don't like Adams, but that's how I look at it.
Chris, it's fair, and appreciate the phone call. I would say this, though. If you're going to make someone, you can make fun of someone for changing their mind too much, I wouldn't look at the Niners. I'd be looking at Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk is the one who did this every other week all offseason. I want to be on the Commanders. I want to be on the Steelers. I want to flirt with Mike Tomlin. No, I don't. I want to trade. Not to that team. Trade me, trade me, trade me. Okay, fine, we're trading you. Hold on! Run upstairs. Don't trade me. Like, the person you're worried about the Niners becoming, Brandon already is.
Well, they enabled him throughout the entire process.
No doubt.
And they made it so every tantrum that he was throwing, they were giving in. You know, you want to be traded? Okay, sure. Let's work on trading you and all the rest of it. And so I do think that, you know, there's two sides to every story.
Of
and
course.
Yeah, you look at Brandon and it's easy to blame him. And yeah, it comes back to now where you're 4 weeks in and we're talking about trading Brandon Ayuk again.
End of summer sales event is on at Frontier Ford, Stevens Creek in Santa Clara. Now's the time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck, or SUV. Stop by or visit frontierford.com. Incredible savings. Drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or frontierford.com. And that segment was brought to you by The Veranda in Concord. Funny text just came through on the Comcast business text line. Does Brandon have a Taco Bell in his mansion? If he doesn't, trade for Adams. There it is. Thank you very much. From 925, we'll take more of your calls on this next. Plus, Doc Pandya in about 15 minutes on Christian McCaffrey. This is Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Now, back to Willard and Libs on 95.7 The Game.
I wish my grin could be heard on the radio.
Put words to it. You're like a Cheshire cat over there.
I just think that this is not as crazy as it seems. And I'll grant you that it's unlikely. And yes, there are a lot of like holes, or I should say obstacles. There are a lot of obstacles to doing this. Now, I've sort of thrown out the idea of a three-teamer between...
Which is almost unheard of in the NFL.
Almost unheard of. Maybe I'm overthinking it. I don't know what the Raiders would say, but call and find out. You take Brandon, we'll take Devontae.
Straight up. I think you'd have to attach a pick to it. Because all I hear from you is how much better Devontae is than Brandon Ayuk.
Well, but except for now you're in a situation where you're not going to get dollar for dollar if you're the Raiders. You don't get dollar for dollar when the whole world knows you need to get rid of somebody who is supposedly an injured diva.
Well, if you're looking for an asset, I'd rather have a second round pick than I would a $30 million a year wide receiver who can only garner two catches a game.
Maybe. I thought the Raiders were trying to win. That's what I'm being told.
Well, if you're really trying to win, then you're not going to trade the best player on your team best player on your team.
But they are trading him because it's gotten to that point. You know what I mean? Like, you know this. We all know this. There are complexities to this that doesn't make it the same as other situations. And again, when I say the Raiders aren't trying to win, understand what I mean by that. I'm not calling them a tank job. I'm not saying that they're going out there on Sundays and not attempting to win their game. The actual game day staff, the coaches, the players, of course they are. But the Raiders are not going to make decisions based on going all in on playoffs and Super Bowl this year. They are going to make decisions based on where they sit in this current moment, which is in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Jim Harbaugh and no quarterback of the future, and all well knowing what that means for how they should conduct themselves over the next few years. You don't go all in on things right now. You kick the can down the road and you get yourself prepared to be ready when that next quarterback is available. Now, when will that be? Who is that guy?
Exactly.
I don't know.
I don't even know what the next quarterback class looks like.
Neither do I. I don't know either. And even
it's
if people
a early yeah, to make that people, determination,
people think they do, they don't. You know what I mean? Like, you got a long way to go, a season, and then obviously the combine and the profiling and the meetings and all of that stuff. I mean, this time Kyler Murray's year, this time of that year, he was projected to be a fourth or fifth rounder.
He was going to be a baseball player.
He went number one overall.
He was going to be an Oakland A.
Right.
There was no thought of him, you know.
Well, there was a thought.
Right, but the prevailing notion was the A's used a first-round pick on him. Yeah. He was going to be a baseball player.
He had been paid like $5 to $7 million
exactly,
already by the A's.
That he gave up to be a football player.
Good
I'm
move.
Not saying that there's a 0% chance, but this to me feels like all of the Giannis to the Warriors talk. We can talk about it. And it's just not going to happen.
Okay, meet me halfway on that one.
This is more likely just based on the way trades can happen. Like Giannis, you'd have to trade $50 million worth of player and all the other rules, blah, blah, blah. This feels as likely as Giannis to the Warriors.
I'll disagree from this standpoint. Giannis has never gone public with a trade request. The Bucks have never come out and been like, we're looking to deal our guy. Then this would be a comp. I know the Niners aren't the top destination. They're not the most likely. It is the Jets or the Saints or the Bills or someone other than the 49ers. But, man, I'd get on the phone. We're always here about do the due diligence and put me in the camp of people, as ridiculous as it may sound, put me in the camp of people who thinks that last Friday was actually part of the problem.
With the shorts.
Yes. I do not think that Kyle Shanahan thinks that that is a, as we like to call it in the business, a nothing burger.
Right.
I do not believe that.
I don't believe that it was such a double-double of a burger that, you know, he's that angry about it. I think that if it was really that upsetting, like, for example, if Brandon Ayuk walks up to him and goes double bird, drops trow, and moons him, he probably gets suspended and he misses a game.
But this is
the man came out in shorts that weren't appropriate. He got a dressing down and a talking to, and then he went out and played football.
But this is not the first brick on the wall.
Right, but it's not the last brick on the wall.
Maybe not, but it's another brick on the wall.
Shout out Pink Floyd.
And the wall is a wall. It's not the second. It's not the second.
It might
brick.
Be a retaining wall.
But I'm telling you, Kyle Shanahan, from every fiber in my being and every conversation I've had, this man was very often very unhappy with Brandon Ayuk this offseason. Often.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
And what has been the result of him being very upset?
Well,
Ayuk has gone out there and played every game and played as many snaps as his body would allow. And I would imagine, and I'll pull up the numbers from last game, he probably played 90% of the snaps.
Yeah.
I know he didn't play in the very end of the game because it was garbage time.
And caught two balls.
And five targets.
Yeah. Five targets.
Well, two of the three that he didn't catch, and I was just looking at my notes during the break, there was a Jabril Peppers pass breakup, which was a great defensive play, wearing the Guardian cap.
Yes. Yeah.
There was another pass breakup in the second half, and then there was the god-awful throw into double coverage in the end zone.
It was interception.
That was intercepted.
Yeah, but I mean, we're not getting into
god-awful.
We're not getting into Brock Purdy's success rate, because Brock Purdy's success rate right now is elite across the NFL. Brandon Ayuk's success rate, if you'd rather do that, let's not do targets, let's not do catches, let's do success rate. It's weak.
Yeah, it's 52%.
And that's terrible.
It's bad, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean,
it's not only because of Brandon Ayuk.
I didn't say that, but this is a team concept, and if that's where this is going, if your success rate is down, if your usage is down, if your frustration caused is up, well, let's talk about it. And is this a way out? I think it is. Jason in the city, next up on Willard and Dibs. Doc Pandy on Christian McCaffrey shortly. Hi, Jason. Thanks for calling.
All right, thanks for taking my call. Willard, I am 10,000% with you. It's Devontae Adams. I am absolutely picking up the phone. I'm not as much of a geek into the cap space or feasibility trades. Okay, but I am picking up the phone. Think about it this way. Organizationally, yes, Brandon Ayuk has been solid. He's been great. The summer was kind of annoying. He admitted it. Okay, but now he's doing fine on the field. Team standpoint, we have Brock Purdy, who's been cooking since his rookie year. Last year took us to overtime against the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. You're going to tell me that if we pick up the phone and call Devontae Adams and said, hey, Devontae, we know you're really smart, you're really good, you want to join our team? We know you're probably hungry for the chip. We got a really good, solid team. Maybe an offensive genius in Shanahan. What do you think? You're gonna tell me he's not interested? I am absolutely picking up the phone now. If you want to take the longevity, sustainability, future standpoint, if you want to take that point, then let's. Strike while the iron is hot, because look at all our injuries. Look at Tua. Brock is great. Let's keep the thing going. I am absolutely picking up the phone, and thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, Jason, thank you. All right, the only thing I would take issue with there is, Jason, you kind of made it sound like it would be Devontae's choice, like he has the power to just say exactly where he wants to go, and that's not necessarily the case. Obviously, this would probably take some sort of a restructuring of this entire contract that we're talking about, and so his blessing is probably necessary, but the Raiders are going to have to guide this ship. They would need to have the trade compensation, and they would have to be a place where they wanted to send him, and all of those things.
And longevity wise, Brandon Ayuk is going to have much greater longevity. I thought that he was implying that Devontae Adams would have a greater longevity than a 26 year old Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily catch that, but I agree with you on that. Let me like offer this up as something new for the conversation, though. Brock Purdy looks pretty damn good, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Looks
spectacular.
Like potentially even getting better.
We never did Brockster's Millions week, but his millions keep going up and up and up.
Brock is like, I don't think anybody, you don't need to worry about it anymore. We might need to kill the segment. Yeah. Brock's getting his money, all right?
End of discussion.
So if Brock looks good and you feel like Brock's getting better, and now Christian McCaffrey's hurt, and you don't know when Christian McCaffrey's coming back, and when he does come back, you're not exactly sure what that's going to look like. And there's fear about him as he approaches his 30th birthday. Isn't it time to start making this a little bit more of a passing team than a running team? And if you're going to do that, I would argue that Brandon Ayuk, while a very good receiver, is more of a somewhat circumstantial receiver, as Greg Cosell has said, perfect for what the Niners do, while Devontae Adams, as Greg Cosell said, works in any system. He's more of one of those elite, one-on-one, mano-a-mano, like true number one receivers. I think he helps you with that. If the Niners do want to win the Super Bowl this year, potentially without Christian McCaffrey, or at least with a lot less of him, I would argue you need to center this a little bit more on the passing game. And I think Devontae helps you with that more than Brandon does.
And that's where philosophically you and I differ as far as what Kyle Shanahan would prefer. I think that he prefers to have a team that's going to run it 50% of the time. He said it as much. Be a 50-50 team. And maybe they're not so much run first this year. A lot of it's circumstantial. When you're trailing, you're going to throw it more. And I look at the game on Sunday where they were leading, and they almost ran it exclusively the last three drives because they had the lead.
Sure.
So they're going to run it a ton. I think philosophically, They do want to run it. They do want to use the tight end and the fullback a lot more, and they don't often go to three wide receivers.
Okay, we're going to keep going with your phone calls, but we'll pause real quick to go out to the River Islands guest line. Time for Cleared to Play, take you inside the tent, get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment and bring in Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandya, who's not only really smart, but also very flexible. Thank you, Doc, for this new time so we could talk to Steve Kerr. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing really good. We want to play something for you, okay? This is from this is from Christian McCaffrey's dad, Ed McCaffrey, talking about his Achilles tendonitis that's bilateral. Let's listen to this and let you react.
You hear all these medical terms. Look, if you have tendonitis, you have tendonitis. I don't know. I think of it like tennis elbow. You've seen tennis players get it, and then they can't play tennis for a while until it heals up. He just has that in his Achilles. And really, just start it with one, and then like that kind of creeps into your calf, and then you start overcompensating, and you start feeling it in the other one. But it's just tendonitis. So I wouldn't get overly complicated, which means it's very, very sore. So I don't know if you've ever had an Achilles injury, but if you have, you know, it's pretty hard to run when you have an Achilles injury. And so I think the team decided, hey, let's be smart with this. Let's look at our schedule. It's the beginning of the season. We don't need to put you out there at 70%. Let's get you 100% and hopefully be ready to go. So they put him on IR. And so it's not up to him. Those are, by the way, you know, doctor's decision. He doesn't decide. He's like, I'll go if you want me to go. And they watch him run and work out. And like, you know what? This doesn't make sense. You know, you're injured. Let's wait till this thing settles down. And the only treatment is rest.
Okay. That's from Ed McCaffrey. Doc, what do you think?
You know, I think that does capture it pretty well. I mean, I think in general with Achilles tendonitis, even though we're worried about that, you know, relatively small risk of rupture, 4 to 10%, it honestly is pain and inflammation. And if an athlete has pain, then it's really up to their body in terms of when they're ready to go out there. And if a doctor or the trainer see that, hey, you're pushing through, but your mechanics are off, we don't want you to get injured, then that's really the decision that you make. So I think absolutely. The mainstay of treatment is rest. That's what they're doing. The fact that it's bilateral is not super surprising. It's either going to come from overuse of both tendons or you're going to compensate a little bit. So I think what he's saying is true. And I think at the end of the day, what this all comes down to, timelines and treatments and all this other stuff aside, it's how he feels. And if he feels good, he can play. It doesn't matter what the MRI shows, but if he doesn't have pain, he can perform on the field. He'll be back. That's what makes it frustrating because we don't know when that'll be. But I think this concern about, is this going to lead to like a traumatic injury down the road? I think it's more about, can he be pain-free and can he perform on the field?
So there's no clear line between a tendonitis like this that would eventually result in a rupture.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, it's without knowing the MRI and not knowing how bad this is, I think the vast majority of people are going to basically do fine. It's going to be problematic. Yes, there's a risk there, but you know, 90% of athletes are not going to have that rupture. Where the line gets blurry is that each athlete responds differently to this. So, you know, a lineman may respond differently than a running back. Someone who has tons of inflammation may not have a lot of pain. Someone with a little inflammation may have tons of it. So it's so variable. I think we just wait and see. And yes, we talk about 4 to 6 weeks from a treatment, but really it's about how his body responds. And it sounds like he's going to start running, which is a very good sign.
Okay. So, and this is part of what you've already answered, but I just kind of want to double back on it because Richard Sherman, who suffered bilateral tendonitis, sort of indicated this week that when you're in this situation, it's kind of, quote, a matter of time until one of them ruptures. And then for him, one of them did. So would you kind of dispute that, though?
I would, yeah. I think we have a tendency to concentrate on the athletes who have Achilles tendonitis to get a rupture. But if the vast majority of them don't, if you look at big, huge studies that have looked at this and people, it's 4 to 10% of a risk. So it absolutely is not the inevitable process. There are probably more athletes walking around with Achilles tendonitis that don't get reported on injury reports. So it's a risk. It's there. But the vast majority of athletes won't tear their Achilles. It's a risk, but you got to make sure that you do the right things.
Fred Warner goes out of the game with an ankle right before halftime, and then he ends up sitting the entire game. But he was back with his helmet on the sideline. What's the concern level with a guy who just rolls his ankle like that?
Pretty low, you know, and I think he even said, you know, he didn't feel he could be effective out there. And I think if you kind of break that down, it's really not necessarily the fact that there was no way he could play. It's just that he was kind of grading how he could perform out there. And I think that's really the key with these kind of general ankle issues. It's like, can I be out there? Can I cut? Can I pivot? Can I be a player out there that can actually make a difference as opposed to someone who's just out there? So I think in general, if he's feeling good and feeling like he can perform, then absolutely he can play. If he feels like, look, he can't go out there or can't be out there for that many plays, then he just rests. But this being something, given the fact that it sounds like he had scans and they're normal, totally not something to worry about. Could he potentially sit on, you know, sit this weekend just to be safe? Absolutely, but I don't think that would be a point of concern.
Doc, what did you make of the way George Kittle looked after the hamstring injury and then the report that he's still kind of day-to-day with it after the game?
He looked pretty good. I mean, that catch he had was pretty remarkable. I think with him going out there, running, you know, playing a lot of plays is the thing you're looking for. And the fact that it's a little bit sore is probably a sign of the fact that he went out there and exerted his hamstring more than he could in practice leading up to the game. So I think in general, it would not be surprising if you see him kind of questionable or day-to-day for the next couple weeks. That's how long these hamstring issues take to resolve. But the fact that he looked good, he played, and there wasn't any time at which he pulled up or looked like he needed treatment on the sideline, I think more than anything else is just normal soreness that you would expect after playing from a week off.
Talanoa Hufanga didn't play, but it wasn't because of the recovery from the ACL, but rather a secondary injury. What did you think of Talanoa when he played the week before coming off of the big knee injury?
I think he looked pretty good. You know, I think in general, when someone comes off an ACL, you know, that 9 to 12 month mark is when you're ready to play. But if you look at when people actually feel normal and their mechanics look normal, it's usually 12 to 18 months from the time of their injury. That's why it's that second season where statistics get better. So I think for him, this ankle issue, if maybe he didn't have an ACL injury, he probably would be playing. But the fact that your mechanics typically aren't all the way back at this time point, plus you got this other injury, better to be safe. But the fact that he was out there, he was cutting, he was pivoting, didn't seem to be compensating that much, I think he looked good. And once his ankle gets all healed up, I think we'll hopefully have him contribute this second part of the season.
Hey, Doc, before you go, can you weigh in on this Rashee Rice situation, which seemed like it was absolutely headed for a torn ACL, and now everyone's kind of like, hold up, we're not sure what's going on, and now there's renewed optimism. What do you think's going on?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have a tendency to think that MRIs are like definitive in terms of like they're going to show an ACL torn or not. But, you know, if we think about what an MRI does, it's really just looking at inflammation in the knee. And sometimes inflammation can indicate there's a tear and you see a lot of signal there. Sometimes it can just indicate that maybe there's a sprain. You know, so for a lot of these times, it's based on the exam. So MRI is inconclusive, but the knee's too swollen to examine it to see, hey, is this actually torn? Is your knee unstable? Or is it really just kind of just stiff and swollen and we can't get a sense of it? So I think it's, you know, they'll probably wait a couple weeks and see how his knee feels. But absolutely, they're the subset of individuals who get an MRI. You can't really tell what's going on, but you can't examine it because it's still pretty swollen. So hopefully there's some optimism. So hopefully he's out there. And, yeah, he's an important part of the Chiefs offense.
No doubt about that. Doc, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for the perspective.
No problem. Take care, guys.
Okay. Doc Pandya. And the proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health.
Yeah, I actually had one more at the buzzer, but I don't know if he would have been able to give a proper answer, so I held off on it.
What were we going
to
ask?
If I broke my nose or not. How do I know if I broke my nose? I hit myself in the face with the nozzle on the hose.
And it looks like it's healing up pretty well already.
Well, the scab part is, but the top of my nose is swollen and it hurts when I touch it. Did I break my nose?
You might have.
Yeah.
I broke my nose before. So
and is it possible to have like a fracture of the nose or does it have to be like a complete break?
I think it's possible. Now, this is just me, but since we do amateur doctor stuff, right? Like, I think that it could just be a fracture. Because when I broke mine, it wasn't, you know, like, oh gosh, it exploded or anything like that. It just looked like a bump, a hefty bump on one side, which you have a little bit of one, right?
And
and it was, although it's like I went straight to the doctor. I was playing baseball and got a ground ball bad hop straight to the face.
I was trying to fend off an angry yellow jacket with the hose.
Did your nose bleed a lot?
Oh yeah, inside and out.
Oh, you should probably go to the doctor.
Yeah. It still hurts.
You should go to the doctor.
You should have seen it. What a scene. Yellow jacket chasing me and my 80-year-old mother-in-law.
And it ended with you whacking your face with a hose.
It landed on my nose, and instead of trying to swat it with my empty hand, I swatted it with the hose hand. And you know those big sprayers, like the gun sprayer that you have? I swung the hose and just absolutely drilled myself in the face. That really hurt. So my wife's watching from in the house, and she immediately starts laughing.
Right, it's really funny.
Really funny.
Except for you.
Gushing. And then she can't stop laughing, and then she looks up and she goes, oh my God, you're bleeding.
Yes.
I go, yeah.
Both from the inside and the out.
Well, I was bleeding down the front, and then I blew my nose, and immediately the tissue was covered in red. And I was like, this ain't good.
How long did it last?
About 5 minutes. I shook it off. I was grilling.
Yeah.
You wash your hands and
you
get back
cooking
to the grill.
Too. Yeah. I mean.
Stupid yellow jacket. Anyway. I should ask the doc.
You should go to the doctor.
Yeah.
All right. 888-957-9570. Good idea or bad for the Niners to get in on the Davante Adams conversation? And as I ask you that, and we get ready to take your calls in the 5 o'clock hour, I'll tell you, I got something new on the Davante front. There is a development. How about that? There is a development. We'll share it with you next on Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.